hiring you in flux. And then this will bring about a change, but it's so complicated now that there's no way to simplify it.
Yeah.
As it is. I don't think there is.
Now, I know when you're in the midst of that wonderful consciousness, it's totally impossible for one to have selfish or corrupt motivation in it at all. It's so utterly pure, so utterly fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if there were some way that consciousness could meet more people, it might have the effect of washing them more or less clean.
Mm-hmm. Just by being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But how are you going to get them up to the point where they can be worst in that consciousness?
Well, that's...
I think it's like picking up a little child who's at play and pretty soiled. He doesn't necessarily want the bath, but it's time for it. So you plop him into the tub.
Yeah.
Well, if you can pop him into the tub, how about popping me into the tub?
All right. Just as soon as I get through.
I think Jim was saying, who are the bathers?
Yeah.
The ones that give the baths.
Seems to me like it's quite a problem to get enough up to that point where they can, where you can turn the river loose.
I know it's quite a problem, but I have a goal to make a dash, a try at it.
If it's a problem, it's mathematically sound, we can work it out, I guess.
Yeah.
I think along with the problem of how to get them there is the problem of what to do with a leaky tub. We've got several problems.
Well, you mentioned one time this morning or sometime about this kind of a wall between samsara and nirvana.
Yeah, that's what I was supposed
to. And where those would have to stand right there at that wall to kind of hold it back or something?
No, the point was that critical or that point of this kind of
making a lot of noise on the recorder.
Well,
he's sneaking again. The monster's at work again. Frankie?
I see what your questioning is aimed at.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll get back to that picture again. The higher circle spreading over the zone that where the discontinuity was. It's supposed to show this possibility that a kind of consciousness that can embrace both is implied up here. And that thus there can be a bridging of the discontinuity. The discontinuity is related then to the locked-in condition in samsara and the locked-in condition in nirvana. Now the point is to have entities who in their own consciousness neither abide here wholly nor abide here wholly, but make the bridging in here, partly in, partly out, and that thereby there may be a possibility of a flow of this into that in a massive way to bring about a transformation, not waiting till individuals have come to this kind of realization. It's so slow, problems too massive to wait on that, but to bring in a sort of bath of this refreshing, purifying force into the field of samsara, so that there may be a cleansing of motivation and so forth, at least to the point where we can get some grip upon our well-nigh impossible problems. As it is, the problem is so complex, I don't see solutions at all. You see, when you deal with one phase of it, you make a problem somewhere else. As I watch the story of history and the story of the present day, I don't see any advance to a situation where the problematic situation has become easier, but rather it's become more complex. Suggests that our ordinary methods will never handle it. And time is against us, as I pointed out on those two factors of the atom bomb hanging over our heads, which may be loosened, unintentionally even, and the galloping growth of population that carries a threat to the ecological balance, and that could be just as disastrous. That means we don't have unlimited time. Now, if something in a massive way could change the whole attitude of a large proportion of the samsaric beings, those in samsara, we might make possible what now appears impossible. That's the thought.
Well, the statement was made apparently by a master of wisdom. Well, not apparently by, it was made by a master of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
That before too long, these ideas would sweep, beginning with the United States, said like a prairie wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't say what would set it off, but that once it started, it would be like a wildfire just sweeping.
The spray. Well, it's just that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I see it. We need now. Mm-hmm. We haven't got enough time to go by the old slow process. So it brings in this idea of massive effort at redemption.
What about your thought of unlocking those that are locked into nirvana?
Seduce them enough to get them out and on the job, yes. I don't know just how we'll do that, but it's a thought. And another thing, Senior suggested, seduce blackies to get into it, but it won't do any more harm. In a locked state. After all, the redemption of all is ultimately the goal. Even the blackie, if you can. But I find that there are those that are not happy about that suggestion, really. Jean was particularly unhappy. Gertrude didn't like it too well. He says, here, we're trying to do our best, and we don't get in, and those blackies get in. I said, don't you remember the story of the prodigal son and the attitude of the elder son? And my father slaughtered the fatted calf, and the prodigal came back. And the elder son said, you never slaughtered a calf for me. Father said, you get all my inheritance, but this your son who was lost is not returned. No. Mm-hmm. What you win is the non-fixed nirvana. These fellows would get a fixed nirvana. It's the very point. They're locked in.
Take your same symbols there and convert the straight line into a spiraling line, and you have something different implied.
Mm-hmm.
Then there isn't a division between. They still exist as separate conditions or states, but if the consciousness moving from the upper circle, centered in the upper circle, moving between the two is a spiraling line rather than a straight line, then you have drawn the two together while they remain separate.
Yes, now this is only intended to express one part of the idea.
Yes.
Namely, that the closure, that this overlaps this point of discontinuity in here. And the line was put in simply to bring out that fact.
Mm-hmm.
That is all it was intended to do. Yes, the actuality may be a good deal, and I would expect it to be a good deal more complex than that.
Well, it seems to me that that puts a great responsibility on our shoulders, and that there's a time, I mean, time is of the essence now,
yes,
to hurry up and get to the place where you can help.
Yes.
Right. Assuming a person has reached the point where they are can be a nirmanakaya or even possibly a trikaya, would it be possible for them to work with those that are locked in nirvana?
I have hopes that that's possible.
Yeah.
I can see some really superior ability being wasted in there. They proved their ability and they got in there. I can't say how it's going to be done by any means. You can ask many questions I can't answer. As a matter of fact, every question I succeed in answering unlocks a couple more.
why couldn't we have a massive effort from the present nirmanakayas and trikayas on that problem?
Well, that might be. Irma can say more about what's being done on the inside with respect to this.
That's passing the book.
Well, no, we're faced with a shortage of time, according to what they say.
Yes,
and
I think
I
so.
I foresee a long, long time to get a massive influx up to the nirmanakaya level.
Yeah.
I think Jung just touched portion of it when you talked of the collective unconscious, what might be done by planting in the collective unconscious. Mm. All right. If you do this, you're not tampering with minds, because that's above and beyond what we call mind. It touches on it and becomes that, but it's above and beyond
yeah.
that too. So the whole thing of nirvana, samsara, paramivana, any name that you can think of to call any designated place, which is nothing more than a state of consciousness, is a product of mind. So if you get into this area, which Jung called collective unconscious, and start working there by deliberately planting seeds, then you get out of the limitation of the mind of the race, which is containing all of these designations, whether it's the highest or the lowest, they exist in the mind. You get above that and drop your pebbles into that stream, raise the level of the stream above mind, and then it's going to overflow into the stream called mind, which is the same stream, but just another version of it. The overflow will be a different type of material. It's more of the collective unconscious wisdom hyphen knowledge, which is brought moving into a mind realm for the race, and becomes eventually conscious. That's the level of thinking or conceptual mind. And as I understand it, this is the way that it can be done.
Well, I am...
the only way that it can be done.
I've had the feeling right along here that it's planting a seed in the collective unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it might be from myself directly, but part of it could be from any persons who hear and get the conception. So it could plant there, just any place. We don't know just where. But if once it's in there and embedded in there, it could spread.
And then another thing that I think is true that this collective unconscious does not belong just to this race mind. The collective unconscious, as I understand you, belongs to all minds.
Oh, yes. All humanity.
This, yes, and this includes beings of seventh round planets. It includes the beings of even other solar systems and other universes. It is not something that is confined to this particular race.
No, I look upon it as a seed.
Humanity is a pretty wide subject.
Yeah, I look on it as a seed. A seed that has what you might call zones. So if there's a racial unconscious in that seed, there is an various individual unconsciousnesses in it, then the whole human race, mm-hmm. and beyond that even, pardon, of all creatures whatsoever, mm-hmm. of all stages of evolution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And out of that, they're emerging, as Jung uses the figure, as islands in it. When they're very young, they're islands that are very easily submerged. As you get stronger, it may become a continental quality that is strong enough to face the unconscious without being swamped by it. But you can reach a point where you're partly in the ordinary conscious field, as Jung uses the term, and partly in this other so-called unconscious, which I view as simply another kind of consciousness.
Not unconscious at all, but other conscious.
Yeah, other conscious. Mm-hmm. And that's a desirable thing to achieve. Neither the going overboard into the unconscious, which is equivalent to a kind of insanity, or the closing it out, as in the case of the materialist,
mm-hmm.
where he mm-hmm. makes everything of this small consciousness here, but a combination of the two, living in a balance where you don't let the unconscious swamp you, nor do you affirm this. Of course, you know you can't affirm this against that larger power. You only affirm it enough so that it holds its own,
mm-hmm.
and maintain a balance in there. Now, I know that power from the other side, call it the unconscious or call it by other names, can carry a very dissolving force
mm-hmm.
on this consciousness, and it could wipe it out.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that happening, but I was able to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
It's holding yourself in between there.
I think you get the point maybe somewhere where you don't so much walk a razor's edge as you wobulate.
How do you mean?
I say you don't so much walk a razor's edge, that is a defined path between these two realms,
mm-hmm.
as you might say that you walk a wobulating path.
Right. Precisely.
You're here and there.
Yeah.
And neither.
Yes, you're here and there, and you're more here, or you're more there at one time or another.
But only as you view from one port or one point or the other. Because the weight would seem to rest on the left foot, but the total body is involved, and it's included on this other side, too. And then back to the right foot again. Walk a wobulating path. It's a razor's edge, but it isn't a straight razor's edge. It's a oscillating razor's edge.
Yeah.
And this oscillation still allows for the division of two with just as much land allotted to each division as a straight line would allow. But it eliminates the falling here or there. It's a little longer path, maybe, between the two. But it allows a perfect view of both of them at the same time, and it allows each to exist separately.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. There's a lesson in the Earth's path, too. We could learn about moving the vehicle on time. has its axial movement. It has its motion in the solar system and through the universe. But as it moves and follows its particular path, it wobulates. And the wobulating is the key to retaining sanity between realms.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, though, before you wobulate, you walk on a straight edge. And that's cutting.
Too rigid.
It is too rigid.
In other words, it's a dance instead of a rigid walk.
Mm-hmm. It's a certain rhythm, a certain flow.
Mm-hmm.
It accomplishes the same goal and comes from the same source. Allows exactly the same division as a straight line would allow, mass-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Or area-wise. But it's a much safer thing this way.
Yeah, I know that there is that variation, all right. Moria Namora, when there are variations.
When do you take another powder?
11 o'clock, according to his orders. For 3/4 of an hour,
Sit on it. You mustn't stay too late.
Well, these that you speak of as part of humanity that are in the seventh line, it seems to me they could implant a great power within them.
Yes, and I think they do. Venus is said to be in her seventh realm. And then there are beings here who are said to be like unto what those in the seventh realm will be or sixth realm will be. But they are still limited because they cannot move ahead of the realms of Isis. But they can establish a focal point because of their type-like development, so that we'll say consciousness such as, I'm not saying it is, but such as Eleusian consciousness could flow through and broadcast from that focal point. After all, seventh round there and seventh round here can be quite similar, except that we are not in the seventh realm. But if we get a person whose consciousness is like unto seventh realm consciousness, yet with the limitation of the race and the rounds of the planet to which he belongs, he can still focus as a focal point, or you might say, imagining a long tube from point perfection to point near perfection or half perfection, and this end of the tube is completely blocked until you get someone who represents type of consciousness, which will come. He is not yet that consciousness because he cannot be seventh round until that round is actually done. But he opens the door, and then what is this is also here, but localized. Now this is where the seed comes from, as I see it. We can plant seeds, but we've got to get the seeds first. We've already been planting seeds for millions of years, and the soil is deficient, and the rains are few. So now it's a matter of a new seed that will grow in poor soil and won't require much moisture and attendance. And that has to be new. And it's shot down the bin from the storage place to the farmer who's going to do the planting, or the human agriculturist. But he has to open the door to allow the thing to come through. Then if you have this happen, he is the receiver of the grain, we'll say. And then what next? He has more than he can possibly use himself, so he distributes it.
Oh, Gertrude, about calling this out.
Well,
this is a good hour.
Mm-hmm. I think we should go along.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Franklin should get to maybe
right.
get a little rest.
Look, I could call her later on, couldn't I?
Well, I wouldn't wait too much later. I think, let's see, this is...
Oh, no.
Monday?
Tuesday. It can't
she'll
be.
She'll be teaching tomorrow, so she'll be going to bed before too long.
I have a 5
o'clock. No, she's going late. So I think we should run along. Fred's had a long night last night, and calls during the night, and Franklin's had his calls during the night.
Well, I've gotten to see so little of you.
Well,